grieving mother finds a way to bring back her dead son, is not all that comes home.
Miss Maybell was discovered deceased inside one of the rooms. Her body was found upright in a rocking chair. What's in a figure made of sticks and leaves? Judging from initial reports, Miss Maybell had been dead a matter of months.
Based on the unsolved mystery of Olivia Maybell.
There were a lot of photos and personal objects on that, and candles and what we call santuarios.
You have no power over me. Leave me alone! Johnny, need help!
A short film from Elf Tree Media.
Mommy.
Thought Form. Support our Kickstarter campaign now through February 17th at thoughtformfilm.com.
Prepare to enter the Elf Tree.
This week on 3M Movie Girls, we watch The Revenant.
And there are absolutely no spoilers in this episode. Just kidding. They're everywhere. They're everywhere. Bear!
Hola, amigos!
Welcome to 3M Movie Goes this week. I'm Ian.
I'm Channing Tatum.
And I am Florence the Whitaker. Right. Damn it, I screwed that up.
Florence Henderson.
Florence Whitaker.
That's Mrs. Brady with the crazy eye.
I did one of those things where you take the two faces and meld them in if they had a baby.
Yeah. Florence. Yes. What?
Florence the Machine and Forrest Whitaker had a baby. Never mind.
We're back for the first time in like 3.5 months.
Is that right?
Yeah. We did The Martian in October.
Wow.
And we're back.
We apologize. We had to take a little bit of a break. We've been busy.
We have been busy. We've been developing and hard at work at creating a short film.
Yeah. Instead of talking about them, we're actually making one.
We are. We got something to say this time.
Yeah.
It's launched. We launched our Kickstarter this past week.
Monday the 18th, we launched.
1 month after Star Wars came out.
I guess that's true. That's true, right? Which you haven't seen.
I still haven't seen Star
Martin
Wars.
Martin still hasn't seen Star Wars. Maybe that'll be the next episode.
He's Joe, pure.
Yeah. Joe and I have seen it, so if you get a chance to see it, then we'll just all sit down one night and do a show.
Yeah, I don't know what's wrong with me. I mean, I've heard such mixed reports on it. It's one of them.
It's made a lot of money.
Well, that's irrelevant, though, isn't it?
That's the mixed reports.
Why do I have to... gauge everything with how much money is.
That's true. It's kind of embarrassing that we do that, right?
Yeah.
It's about the art.
I need to go watch it. Fucking hell, it's my child. I think I'm scared to watch it.
Yeah.
Because I'm a bit like...
I can understand that.
Yeah.
Well.
It's got such a precious place in my memory. A New Hope has, anyway.
Yeah.
From the reports.
Yeah.
It's just a bit of a rehash.
It was a well-done rehash, okay. I got to say that. Okay. It was well put together. It was a good reintroduction into the world.
Good. I'll get on with it. It'll be on fucking Netflix in fucking 3 months anyway.
You're right.
It was fun, though. I had a good time on that film. I don't know. It had its flaws.
You were on it.
I was in it, yeah. I was
the third Wookiee to the left.
I was one of the Ewoks. I was a bush, actually. I was under a mound. That's terrible. But no, I mean, hey, the Ewoks were survivors, and so was freaking Mr. Leonardo DiCaprio.
Yeah, and I mentioned it looked like you were on Endor for a little while.
It did. Well, the story took place in like Montana and South Dakota.
Right.
Those were. And funnily enough, Parks and Recreation, you watch that show?
I've seen some episodes.
I mean, I think it's set in South Dakota because they're in Pawnee. No, it's Indiana. So Pawnee, but it's Pawnee was the name of the Indian tribe.
Was Amy Poehler one of the Native Americans?
She was. She was there.
Mm-hmm.
She was actually the bear. It was her and Kate Winslet in a two-person suit.
Like Jabba the Hutt.
We watched The Revenant this week.
We did.
Mm-hmm. Oscar-nominated movie for Best Picture. Best Director, I suppose. Leonardo DiCaprio is nominated for
it. Fucking Oscars again.
Everyone remembers him from Birdman.
It's true.
This is the Birdman,
it's
man.
It's only fitting that episode 31, it kind of reflects episode 1, which was Birdman.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Of this show.
So. Oh, wow. That's crazy.
Yeah. We've seen a number of the Best Picture nominees this year already.
What are they?
The ones that we've seen are Mad Max, Fury Road, The Martian, and now The Revenant.
All right.
So we've seen three out of 8 movies.
And nothing for Tarantino. He's not on there.
Nothing for Tarantino.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
I don't know. Is it crazy?
His movies. I don't know. His movies are a little hit or miss, I imagine.
Well, possibly.
Not for everybody.
Yeah, I can't imagine so well this done. Being for everybody, though, I'll be honest with you.
The Revenant?
Yeah.
No, I didn't. I mean, how would you describe this movie in terms of genre? What genre of film is this?
Oh, God, you're like a frontier survival movie.
Yes, dude. Wikipedia describes it as a frontier revenge flick.
Revenge, yeah, go on, yeah.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I mean, so it's that's definitely what I felt, is that it was... Ransom, almost it was kind of those kinds of movies where somebody wrongs you and you got to go after them.
It was a mix between like The Edge and Taken.
Okay, all right.
You know,
in the wilderness.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And with a shattered ankle.
Well, actually, it's based on a real guy. Hugh Glass was actually a real guy, okay. A real frontiersman.
Okay, okay.
According to legend, you know what I mean?
Frontiersmen are usually hired to keep you safe and keep you on course, right, yeah, where you're trying to go.
Yeah, like a scout. And in this movie, he was helping the guys who were getting all the pelts and the skins and skin traders. He was guiding them, navigating them through the wilderness.
Now, do you think it was him and Tom Hardy?
I think Tom Hardy was a part of the group. Part of the actual group. Yeah, the scavengers or whatever. These guys who were selling the pelts.
And Leonardo DiCaprio was a freelancer.
Freelance scout. I think so, yeah.
This movie took place in 1823.
Wow. 1823. Yeah. I mean, 1823, United States of America.
Yeah.
It's the old West. I mean, that's...
I mean, I love this time period. I mean, There Will Be Blood and all that kind of stuff.
Yes.
I love this time period because I imagine it was fucking crazy out here. Yeah. Literally just wild.
I imagine they didn't have much time for any of the stupid bullcrap that we put up with now in terms of, distraction and all that. I mean, all Leo had to worry about was surviving.
Yeah, he's weren't thinking about his Facebook status.
Yeah, he's like, I gotta make sure everybody on Twitter knows I'm still around.
Check it in.
Yeah. I wonder how many times he tweeted while on the set of that movie.
I don't know.
Oh, I don't know, man.
I'll tell you what, though. It looked fucking horrendous. I mean, I know even for the cast who were there, that was legit, wasn't it? I imagine they were freezing.
I imagine it was very cold, and they were all very wet, the entire time. I don't know how much, wetsuit type of stuff they had on under their clothes, because usually they were fully clothed. But
that water had to be freezing.
It had to be very cold.
Mm-hmm. What was the guy's name that was, he ends up being the villain of the film?
Tom Hardy.
Tom Hardy.
Yes.
Fitzgerald.
You were saying, Martin, that you couldn't understand shit he was saying.
Yeah, I couldn't understand. This is the second movie with Tom Hardy. Yeah. It was completely inaudible.
Right. I mean, there were a lot of elements that I just didn't catch.
And I read a review on Variety, and they said the same thing. They were like, I can't understand the word this guy's saying.
I wonder where he was from. I mean, both of their accents sounded very not... frontiersman. I mean,
you mentioned mountain man slang or whatever.
Yeah, I mean, DiCaprio had something in his mouth to like protrude his jaw. I mean, it kind of gives him a different look, and you've got to talk with might as well be a wad of chewing tobacco.
Seeing the Bubba Gump face now.
That's exactly what it is, or The Godfather with
Tom Wool.
So let me get on with this log line.
Yeah, shoot the log line.
All right, so The Revenant, a frontiersman on a fur trading expedition in the 1820s, fights for survival after being mauled by a bear and left for dead by members of his own hunting team.
Yeah.
But again, Wikipedia describes it as an American frontier revenge film directed by Alejandro Iñárritu.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So,
do you know what though? Like to say, he did Birdman, didn't he, last year? Birdman was fucking colorful. It was full of character.
It was.
This was just dry emotionally.
It was
bleak. Do you know what I mean? But like, we really just, I couldn't feel for Leo because I had no idea who he was.
No, we didn't get much by way of backstory and actual connection with him, except through flashbacks.
And his son, I mean, he brought his son with him.
Yeah.
To go with, you know, the skin trade guys. And yeah, you really didn't get that. You didn't get their bond. You didn't get this sense of it. I know the flashbacks were there to try and suggest that, you know, they've been down for each other for all this time, but I missed something. It missed it. It looked beautiful, though. It was a visual masterpiece. Absolutely.
It was. They had some very beautiful locations they shot. And everything they did, they shot with natural light. So
it was
just what was there available in those times of day.
Wow.
Yeah. Do you know what they used as far as cameras for this film?
I don't. I imagine they used quite a few, though. A few different types of cameras. You know, in the water, you would have had to have a different type of camera than you can on land.
Yeah.
And I imagine a lot of the cameras they used had to be very mobile.
Let's see what their budget was on this bad boy. 167. Oh, no, I'm sorry. $135 million.
That was the budget.
Mm-hmm.
135? Is that even real?
$135 million.
Who makes these numbers up? Do you know what I mean?
Well, I mean, you know, when you get Brett Ratner in there, he's going to throw some shit in there.
When he cropped up at the end, I thought, oh, okay, it makes sense
now. Well,
there are a definite deep level of Ratner shitness to this.
For you know, the first 30 minutes of the movie, you see the bear attack. And you said that the CG of the bear pulled you right out of the movie.
Yeah, it really did. The great thing about it is it were all just one unbroken shot. So the whole attack. That got the tension because you were like, oh, shit, oh, he's coming back for more. He's coming back for more. And they didn't cut. But yeah, the bear itself, even the fur, it looked like something from a video game.
Yeah. It looked like the polar bears from Lost.
Yeah.
You know, it was close, but no cigar for me.
CG is like that, though, for me. It's still like that. It's not there.
It seems to have hit a ceiling for me. It's gotten really good.
Yeah. But do you think that's a level of CG that could, like, do you think there's CG out there that could have been better? They just hired this company and that's what they ended up producing?
Well, possibly. I mean, in my experience, especially with animation and CG stuff, I mean, you're at the mercy of one, a budget. Like you gotta farm it out to the lowest bidder, and that lowest bidder is kind of subjugated to what kind of storage they've got, what kind of processors they've got. You know how good they're. You know, they light everything because part of what made the bear not look real could have been the way that the CG was lit in the computer when it was all rendered. So there are a number of different things, but, you know.
As it was just that, like, one unbroken shot, I think it would have been difficult to have, like, an animatronic kind of creature.
Absolutely.
I don't think you could have done it.
No. It would have looked like, you know, 1990, you know, Grizzly Adams, you know, so, which, you know, RIP, Dan Haggerty.
Oh, really?
Yeah. He died last week along with Alan Rickman and all those people.
Leslie Nielsen again. Do you see this?
Leslie Nielsen died again.
What?
Leslie Nielsen popped up on Twitter, RIP, and he died in 2010.
That's hilarious. Leslie Nielsen, RIP again.
It was like a trending thing or what?
Yeah, it was trending, worldwide trending on Twitter.
That's hilarious.
And I read the first few tweets, and oh no, we've lost another one. And then somebody went, you idiots, he died in 2010. What's wrong with you?
I wonder how that began trending, if it was just like a viral thing or if somebody, like a whole different part of the world, is like not privy to some news, and all of a sudden they were released information.
Yeah, God knows how these things catch fire.
So development of this film began in August 2001.
Really?
2001, Akiva Goldsman purchased Pyunkei's manuscript. So this was based on the book The Revenant, A Novel of Revenge. So yeah, this movie's been in the works for 15 years.
Wow. There were also a 1970s version of this film.
Really?
Man in the Wilderness, it was called.
Oh.
Yeah, American revisionist Western film about a scout for a group of mountain men who are traveling the Northwest United States in the 1820s. The scout is mauled by a bear and left to die by his companions.
Oh man, we should watch that next.
So we just saw we watched a remake. That's basically what we did.
Damn. Do you think they're going to give the remake an Oscar?
Oh well,
I feel duped now. I feel like I just watched another Spider-Man.
Should have watched the original.
Yeah, we should watch the original. Let's see the comparisons.
Well, it's Richard Harris in that play.
Oh, Dumbledore.
Oh, nice. I bet you the bear scene will look more badass in this film.
Yeah, I think so.
Back in the 70s, film? You know, they're getting away with like actually real
animals. Just got real bad, yeah.
Ripping up a dummy, just like.
Yeah, probably so. Yeah, so I didn't know that. It was a kind of a remake.
That's
remake-ish.
Cool. The Revenant, a novel of... This is interesting. The Revenant, a novel of revenge, is a 2002 novel by Michael Pünke.
Oh, okay.
Punk. I'm going to call him Michael Punk, because he's based on the story of the American frontiersman Hugh Glass.
Yeah. So okay. I think all these are based on legends of
on
Hugh Glass.
On his real... Okay, got it. So, interesting.
Did Hugh Glass just make up a bunch of stories about himself?
Yeah, possibly. Hugh Glass lived from 1783 to 1833.
Oh, so he could have just left these in journals.
Yeah, journals and stuff. Yeah, he were a frontiersman, fur trapper, fur trader, a hunter.
Wow. Yeah. What a badass.
So he died 12 years after this movie.
Oh, really? Loved the setting of this film.
Yeah. So this movie's set in 1820. He said he died in 1835. Yeah.
I mean, dude, he got jacked up in this film on many occasions. So I don't know how he survived past the bears.
I know.
Well,
Leo, yeah.
15 years.
Yeah. Leo got the fuck kicked out of him.
That's, you know, everybody has said that. And I, you know, I didn't think he, it was
unbear-like?
I don't think he suffered more than I expected him to, I guess, in this movie.
No, I got a bit sick of it. Towards, all right. Yeah, we know. He's like, when he were doing the Hothwampa thing and cutting open the
Hothwampa thing. He did. You know what? That was actually
tree.
Fairly clever. I don't know that I would have thought of that.
Yeah.
But I'm not a frontiersman.
And then he got in there. And all right, here we go. And then he got. It was like he were being born when he were coming out.
Well, because it had frozen the night before. Yeah. And the whole thing was just like frozen solid. Yeah. He's inside.
Yeah, it was steaming when he opened it up. He was like, he got in there naked.
He did.
Took all his clothes off. He didn't want to get that junk on his clothes.
And you know he probably peed in there.
Oh, probably. Yeah.
Had to.
Totally.
Have.
Probably took a deuce. Win in a horse. That's terrible. He needed more steam. That's terrible. Anyway, he did survive. And after that freaking cliff fall, like that blew my mind. I was like, all right.
Oh, that was like First Blood. Have you seen First Blood?
No,
guys?
I have not.
Oh, when Stallone, you know, the fucking Denahir and everybody are after him. And he jumped off a mountain cliff top. And hits a big tall tree like that.
Nice.
Just like that shot there. And goes boop, 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 goes all the way down there.
All the way down.
Oh, yeah.
Just snaps through the branches.
Yeah, I mean, this is Leo having been mauled by a bear. He's probably got all sorts of you know, infections and...
emotional trauma.
You know, all that. Yes, he's got a shattered ankle. You know, I mean...
His crew find him, though.
A shattered spirit,
they did.
Too.
They did by the end. Well, how long do you think he was out there?
I don't know. It didn't seem that long.
It didn't seem that long, but it was long enough for him to have healed his ankle because he was walking around by the end of it. I mean, we saw right when they left him. I mean, his ankle was broken.
Oh,
like
you mean
places.
Do you think? How long do you think the film?
Yeah, the time span of the film.
Quite. That's several months.
Months. Yeah, I mean, it had to have been.
Yeah. But I don't think his crew found him just after the bear attack, didn't they? And they kind of wrapped him all up.
Oh yes. Okay. Right.
Yeah. They wrapped him up. They put him on like a makeshift stretcher, and they carried him.
Which looked heavy. Later on in the film, when he kind of disappears, the Native Americans find him, and they flip this stretcher thing over, and that thing had to have weighed a good 100 pounds.
Right.
You know, him, that plus all the skins that were covering him, plus his body weight.
Yeah.
I mean, that's going to be tough. They were trying to...
Plus the booze. They keep the booze packed on that same thing.
And the St. Bernards.
Oh, no, but he had his throat slashed by the bear, so he couldn't talk.
Couldn't talk. I mean, he had pretty much his everything slashed by the bear.
I was actually surprised they even put him on the stretcher. I thought they would leave him.
Just
surely.
Leave him, yeah.
That's, I mean, it didn't, I get the mentality, you know, no man left behind, all that, especially after the beginning of the movie, they get ambushed by Native Americans.
Yeah.
And they go from like 45 guys down to 12 people.
Yeah.
Man, that'd be terrifying because you're in there.
you know, this is their house.
Their neck of the woods. Yeah.
Freaking shooting arrows.
Yeah.
That was incredible. I loved all the fighting scenes. Thought they were really well done.
They were. They were very well orchestrated.
It had this beauty to it, and then it had this brutality to it.
It did. It did. Well, that's, you know, I imagine that kind of landscape has got to be so beautiful, but to be that beautiful, it's got to be unforgiving.
Yeah.
You know, it's like the Grand Canyon. It's like any of these, the rivers, the river flowing down, and he went over, you know, 8 different types of waterfalls and cliffs and all that kind of stuff. I mean, that's nature.
Well, yeah. I think the elements and nature and everything were one of the biggest antagonists in this film.
They were. Well, I was going to ask, I mean, Tom Hardy, I didn't necessarily, by the end of the movie, think that he was this despicable character. I think he was a very logical person. He was like, look, guys, we're going to die if we keep trying to drag this man up here.
And, he was a madman. He was a madman, Ian.
That weren't his full intention, though, were he? Because he, as soon as... they had Leo there, he's on the stretcher, and then the captain guy, Gleason.
Yeah, Domhnall.
Yeah. He's the boss, and he says, look, we gotta leave him. But when somebody needs to stay with him, because we wouldn't be this far without him. I mean, right. He needs to have an honorable funeral.
Yeah, he almost blew his brains out, but he couldn't do it.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. So
he was a weak Weasley.
So his son stays behind, some young kid stays behind, and then Tom Hardy stays behind. Yes. Only when he's convinced he's going to get everybody's paycheck.
Right, exactly. Yeah. He's going to get an extra $300.
Yeah, he's just out for what he can get. And I guess he's a survivor like everybody.
Exactly. And that's okay. I don't think that's any worse than anybody else.
Well, killing his son, I mean, that were a real, real dick thing to do.
It was an unnecessary thing to do, but I still don't think, at least for me, at least he didn't do it to spite Leo. You know, at least he didn't do it to be like, look, you got nobody to live for now.
But he did sign up for it, though, because he was getting paid $300 to basically save him. Like, he chose to do it. So it's not like he ended up there in that position. Him? Yeah, because he was there with Leo and the kids, because they were going to save him, but then they were like, well, these are two kids, you know, you can't just leave them, you know, they're going to get fucking taken. And so he ends up taking money just to stay and be part of their team.
Well, they weren't going to try and save him. They were always there. They were always going to try and just give him an honorable death. Somebody there to take care of him while he dies. And then bury him properly.
Yeah, so I understand your logic is dying anyway.
Well, his kid
wasn't thinking that. Like no, they were thinking he's going to survive. We just got to figure out a way to.
I don't know. I mean, sure, but I don't think that they actually thought that. I mean, I think that everybody legitimately expected him to die, and so I don't think that what Tom Hardy did was all that like malicious. I think it was misguided, and I think he was definitely a crazy character. But I mean, you're right. 90% of the time, he's going to die in this situation. So you know.
But he tried to strangle him. You know.
Yeah.
Suffocate him.
Yeah, I think you were a real dick.
But he did blink.
Well, he shut his eyes.
But it blinked though. He says, "I want to save your son," didn't he? And it blinked, and it blinked, and then he killed him anyway. So he was definitely a despicable character.
He definitely had no honor.
No, not at all.
No morals.
Not at all.
He lost his fingers for it.
Yeah, but what did Leo laying there incapacitated, can't do a fucking thing, and watching Tom Hardy kill his son.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, to say honestly, Leo didn't have a lot to work with. I mean, he hardly spoke. All he had were these grunts and his face and that.
Yeah,
it was like Tusk.
He did a great job.
Like Tusk. Yeah. Leonardo DiCaprio and Justin Long.
They went full Walrus.
They had a groan off.
Yeah, I mean, so he's up for Best Actor, along with a bunch of other people.
It's got to be Matthew Zimmer.
Yeah, I mean, it's for my money. It's him. It's Matt Damon. It's actor in a leading role. Bryan Cranston for Trumbo. Matt Damon for The Martian. Leo DiCaprio for The Revenant. Michael Fassbender for Steve Jobs. And Eddie Redmayne for The Danish Girl.
Are all these white people?
I could see Cranston.
Yes.
Does anybody notice this?
I don't know that anybody has noticed this in the world yet. We'll be the first to break the story. it's been going on a lot lately. The people have been noticing that the Oscars are exceptionally white the past couple of years.
Yeah, Hollywood is this way. Mm-hmm.
But, you know, we're going to have everybody. Will Smith and Jada Pinkett are calling for a boycott.
Yeah.
And, you know.
I'll tell you what, though, there were no black actors in this one and very few females.
there were very few females in this movie. There were a lot of, I mean, the diversity had to do with white people to Native Americans.
Well, because there were French in there. I quite like that. They're all the different territories. Do you know what I mean? Like literally when this, all the people were coming from.
It was a land grab.
Yeah, exactly.
Just setting up their freaking cities, like hoping they could fight off anyone coming to stop them, you know?
Well, and, you know, according to this film, most people could, you know, they were pretty brutal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I imagine they were exciting times. I wouldn't want to live there, but I'd like to just go and have a look.
Yeah, I mean,
just a lawless land. Do you know what I mean?
Well, it's funny that Tom Hardy was in two films that portrayed that same kind of lawlessness.
I guess so.
That are both nominated for Best Picture.
So. Yeah.
You know, he played the good guy. Well, he played the protagonist in one. He played an antagonistic character at the end of the other.
That is weird to think about. A lot of the same actors being part of the nominated crew, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, that's what it is.
Strange.
It is. It's every year it's the same fucking guy. I mean, every year the same guys.
Well, we've already got Iñárritu.
Yeah.
Is nominated for best, you know.
And he won the Oscar last year, didn't he?
He did. He won Best Director.
Best Director, yeah.
Well, and Lubezki for cinematography. I mean, he's been nominated the past 3 years.
Has he really?
Yes.
He did a great job, though, legitimately. Like, they all did. It's just weird that it is kind of a closed party. Like,
I don't necessarily think Leo's going to win for acting.
I don't think so.
It's unfortunate, because...
So. Honestly, he gave it fucking 300%, but it was one-dimensional in some ways. We saw him grunting and struggling, but we didn't see any emotion, really.
Yeah.
I didn't see any depth.
I thought that I would see more from him during the scenes where he was like huddled over his dead son.
Yeah.
You know, it seemed a little bit like he emoted more during out of the pain of, well, I guess physical pain rather than the emotional pain, which, you know, I guess that might have had something to do with why it was difficult to connect to him and his relationship with his son.
Whereas Matthew was Zemmour in The Martian, I mean, he was very much more, he was a lot more talky, wasn't it? But
It was.
I mean, he was solving problems literally by talking it out. So maybe he had a bit more of an advantage over Capri over this. But I really felt it. I really felt him.
Yeah.
And he brought a lot of character to it.
No bears on Mars.
No.
Yeah, that's true. And no gunpowder. To heal your wounds.
Just shit covered
titties. Shit potatoes.
And ketchup. Lots of ketchup.
Yeah, I think Damon will scoop. Has he had one before, Damon?
An Oscar, yes. An acting Oscar, I don't think so.
Oh.
But he definitely won an Oscar for writing in Good Will Hunting.
Oh, okay.
Back in the day.
I could see Bryan Cranston winning it. He's a classy dude. Everybody likes him.
But it's not necessarily a popularity contest.
But
that's kind of people's choice awards,
though, because how many people have been saying, oh, Leo deserves one. Leo deserves one. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And they might give it to him, not because it's the best film or the best performance, but they might give it to him because he deserves one. And I think that's wrong.
Well, I think, like, that's what honorary Oscars are for.
Yeah. But you've got to be 90 years old, don't you?
Yeah. So give it a few years, Leo.
Are there a lot of people at home just like crossing their fingers for all these actors, like their teams, you know?
Oh, possibly.
Team Leo?
Oh, yeah.
Tom Hardy's nominated for actor in a supporting role for this film.
Is he really?
He is. And I mean, I thought his acting was okay. I think that his speech could have used some enunciation.
I think so, yeah.
But it's him. Let's see. Tom Hardy, Christian Bale, Mark Ruffalo, Mark Rylance, and Sylvester Stallone.
Stallone, yeah.
Stallone is nominated for Best Supporting Actor.
Wow. Yeah.
Crazy, huh?
Well, he got an award, didn't he? Did it with a Golden Globe or something.
Did he?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Well, and so did Leo. Leo won the Golden Globe for this.
Oh, really?
So it's very possible.
It's just such a wank fest, isn't it? These fucking millionaire fucks.
They all just want statues on their walls.
Fucking hell.
I'm kidding.
Yeah,
I don't know what they want. But I really do. I mean, hey, I thought he did a good job. There were moments that felt forced, like the Oscar moments with the music
and him
drudging up a hill and looking off into the... I know that's what someone would legitimately be dealing with if they're crawling through the fucking woods.
Yeah.
But it felt really forced, like, oh, I'm supposed to feel for him and his survival right now. And I knew he was going to survive, so I didn't really... I didn't have it in me to get sad in that moment, but yeah. I knew what they were trying to make me feel.
Yeah. You know, I kind of called the very end, the last shot of Tom Hardy after he's been killed by the Native Americans. You see him face down in the water, and I'm like, okay, that's a good place to leave him. And then Leo kind of does his little walk ride off, and it shows like two or three different shots of the riverbed.
Yeah.
And then it shows one long shot, and you see the river kind of flowing down. I'm like, we're going to see him coming down, Tom Hardy, body floating through the water. They couldn't just leave it at him being face down. I thought that would have been a far more fitting way to end it. And then he just came floating down. I just, there were a few moments that seemed to be contrived, almost studio based.
They should have had the two baby bears, like cubs, a little older. Like a few months older, however big they would be. And then they like totally like get him in the river and start ravaging his body.
And then T-Rex comes in.
So yeah, the film ends with those two baby bears that were being defended by their mom.
I'll tell you that one nasty though, that scalping. That were a nice little touch. Yeah.
The when he scalped Domhnall Gleeson. Oh,
not just that though, but it was kind of a running theme, wasn't it?
Yes, yes.
Like Tom Hardy had been scalped, got his taint scalped, as you mentioned.
I was sitting around the fire when he described it. Ooh,
that was nice. That it described.
The knife scraping his skull.
Yeah, and at first he didn't feel it, and then he felt the cold, and then he saw the
cold blood.
The blood running down his face, and then he was choking on the blood, and like.
And then that's when I felt it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, he did the exact same thing to Domhnall Gleeson. He was talking about how the Indians in Texas didn't do that. It's right, just they'll rob you, but they won't scalp you.
Right, what the hell was the deal with that? Why do people, I mean, I know it's a mark of you're killing someone, but why scalping someone? Is it to show it to someone else? Or?
Yeah, it's the same as taking an animal's fur.
That's what we're going to say.
Making some paintbrushes out of the
little toupee
hairs. Yeah, a little toupee, exactly. Yeah, you never know.
Or merkins. for the non-existent ladies in this movie.
Yeah, he could have done with a few ladies in this film.
Yeah, but then it might have become Dances with Wolves.
Possibly. Dances with Wolves were a better film, though.
It's not wrong.
Because they had Socks, the dog. Remember that dog? He was such a badass.
I didn't see it, actually. I haven't seen Dances with Wolves.
Oh, never mind. I don't want to spoil you. Never mind. There's no Socks.
Like
there's no dog.
Old Yeller. Come on, Yeller.
Tom Hardy ends up literally, he kills freaking Leo's son.
Yeah.
And then ends up fooling the other kid, waking him up really early in the morning that they have to go because saw a bunch of...
Yeah.
Well, and...
exactly. The river.
That those were elements of despicability.
Yeah,
you know he's trying to manipulate people. But again, I didn't think he was doing it to be evil. I think he was just doing it because it's like, no, this is irrational for us to be sitting here waiting on this guy to die.
But what about the part when they drug him and he was still alive and they were burying him? That was kind of jacked up.
Yeah, he was a real asshole.
He was a real asshole.
Could have just left him. Just been like, hey, there's a hole over there. If you get the strength. You don't want to do this anymore. Just crawl.
Yeah, he could have just fucked off and just left him with his son there, couldn't he, really? But he wanted his pieces of silver, didn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He wanted his two extra hundy. Yeah.
So he wanted to be able to say that they buried him. That's what you mean.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can see that.
Which was shady from the start. And this is poor leadership, I will say, because Domhnall should have been able to read that Tom was not the best person with these kids.
He might not be the best person for this job.
He was the one picking on Leonardo DiCaprio up on the hill when he was sitting with his son.
Yeah.
And his son like tried to get up and he popped him.
Yeah, just a bit of a bully all around.
Yeah, it was weird. It's like, you got to know where those guys are in your group. And you got to be like, no, we're not going to put you in any position where you're going to hurt other people, because that's kind of the character he was showing off. Anyway, poor management back in the 1800s. That's all I was going to say.
Well, Domhnall's showing without spoiling it, Domhnall's showing a pattern of poor leadership, you know, with this and then with Star Wars.
Oh, really?
That's true.
Oh, is he in Star Wars as well?
He is. He plays the, like,
that's
Uber.
That's what I mean. Fucking hell. We've got this, what, we've got five actors
in
there?
Dude.
They're all in the same fucking films. But I can understand why the brothers are upset.
See, Domhnall was in three really good movies this year. He was in this. He was in Star Wars. He was also in Ex Machina.
Oh, of course he was.
Along with Oscar Isaac.
Oh, man.
So,
Oscar Isaac was in Star Wars.
In Star Wars, you know.
Fucking hell.
Yeah.
Give out some more jobs.
Come on, JJ.
What is going on?
They're all like a bunch of worms in a little bucket, just rolling over each other, intertwined. And
they are. I've seen that now. And it's like the New Guard. Mm-hmm. These are the new guys. It's not like the, you know, the...
If it's a script over $100 million, it goes to all these people first.
Oh, yeah.
It has to.
Well, I imagine this film, you're going to do another film after Birdman. You've come up with a script, you know what I mean? And then as soon as it gets to Leo, that's greenlit. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, Where the hell is Michael Keaton? That's what I'm wondering. Why wasn't he in this film?
He'd have been better, wouldn't it?
Michael Keaton.
I would have loved him.
In his tidy whities, running around in the snow.
In his tidy whities.
Birdman!
Michael Keaton's in another movie that's nominated this year. I believe it's called Spotlight.
Oh.
Spotlight, I believe, is Michael Keaton.
So, I was kidding, but he is actually, wow, it's really, this is out of hand.
It really is just the same five guys.
It is the same five white guys.
Wow. The same five white guys.
Yeah.
What is going on?
Very little diversity.
And so. Christoph Waltz?
Oh, well.
Is he? I don't know.
He did. He became an icon this year by playing both Blofeld.
Oh, yeah.
In Inspector. Did you see James Bond?
I didn't know.
That was pretty good.
Yeah,
I enjoyed it.
I never watched those films. I never really get into them. I don't know. I need to, though. I heard they were getting better.
Well, they're definitely keeping up with the modernness of modern storytelling. But
it's worth watching just for this whole surveillance subplot that's going on with it.
I just always feel like it's a movie tied around luxury watches, suits, and whatever a car is.
And vodka.
And vodka, exactly. Yeah.
No, that's just decoration.
It feels like a long vodka commercial. That's what
it is. Or for Heineken. I think they've kind of switched over to Heineken beer now.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I've seen him doing the ads for it.
Yeah, he drinks the Heineken.
Interesting. Does he drink it in the movie?
I think he did in Skyfall.
Did he really?
I don't remember if he did in this movie or not.
Gotcha.
I'll tell you one thing. The two striking things with this film were obviously the shots, the photography.
Yes.
The other thing with the soundtrack, fucking brilliant.
Yeah, it was great.
Oh, you mentioned that you knew somebody in
the
soundtrack.
Yeah, his name popped up there, like Ryuichi Sakamoto.
Ryuichi Sakamoto.
That's, top man.
That's awesome.
He's from Yellow Magic Orchestra.
That's badass.
Nice.
We're an amazing Japanese electronics band. Like one of the first electronics bands, do you know what I mean? From the 70s.
The music was incredible.
It was, it was. The soundscape was brilliant.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
It's very
And just the audio design generally, like the crashing waterfalls.
Yeah.
And, you know, it sounded like vibrant. And
it was like a National Geographic documentary of the
It was. I was National thinking that Forest, same thing. You know. Have you ever seen the BBC Richard Attenborough documentaries?
I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, parts of it looked like it were a BBC Richard Attenborough documentary.
The establishing shots were very long.
They were very drawn out. They were sometimes they were beautiful, and you looked at them, and they were long and they were drawn. But then when it got to the action, it were all very close up.
Yes,
and then you lost a lot of that scope.
It opened up with the river, didn't it? Isn't that how the movie opens?
It did. It opened with the river, and they were walking through, kind of stalking elk, I believe, was what they were going after.
Yeah.
Man, I don't know if I could handle it. I was telling you guys, like, if I had just been mauled by a bear, there's people chasing me, trying to kill me. I don't know. I'd just jump a cliff and just start over somewhere.
Yeah.
End up on another planet. You're like, oh, shit.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I'd say
I'm just kidding.
He crawled back, though, didn't he, there, Leo?
Literally.
He literally did. When they threw him in the dirt and threw him in the ditch and covered him with dirt, like we're gonna bury him alive.
I mean, he was clearly saying, "I don't want to be buried alive."
But then, clearly.
But he got up, he crawled over, went to his son, said his goodbyes, and kind of that was the moment you were like, "All right, he's on the trail. He's on the comeback trail."
Do you think he was purposefully crawling towards his son, or do you think he just happened upon his son?
I think he was purpose because he saw. Yeah. Didn't he see the blood in the snow?
Yes,
and
he
then
did.
He was like, okay, and he knew that was his.
You saw him dragging him off too. He saw which direction he drug him off.
Yeah, I think he knew where it was going.
Yeah, I think the editing compressed time. I mean, clearly it compressed time a lot, but it compressed it in such a way that I did not get a sense for the timeline of the film. Again, that's why I was having to ask you. I just, you know, the only thing that was really telling for me about how time was passing is the fact that we suddenly started to see him start walking on his own.
Yeah.
He kind of healed up a little bit. You know, by the end, he gets taken back to the camp and then goes back out again. Oh,
he met that other fella, didn't he? He met that other native fella.
Yeah,
who
he did.
Killed a buffalo or something, didn't he?
Kind of like Friday from, from Robinson Crusoe.
Yeah.
You know, or Wilson from Castaway.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he pretty proper just appeared, didn't he? And he helped him out and then he fucked off, didn't he?
He did. He put him in the sweat room.
Like a cocoon thing.
Sweat lodge. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Oh, that was my favorite scene of the whole movie.
Yeah.
Because he buckled down. He's like, okay, this guy needs to survive.
Yeah.
And he just stopped what he was doing and built a fire and then built a house, like went and chopped down a tree and put Leo in this little incubator.
Yeah.
Full of steaming stones. And
he put like ointment or plant juice or something on his back, healing him. Proper medicine man, wasn't
he?
He was. I mean, that's the Native Americans lived by the land, and I'm sure knew a whole hell of a lot more than we know today, at least.
Yeah.
You know, we've got shows like Survivor Man or you know, Bear Grylls to kind of teach us how to survive.
Yeah. Anything with a camera is not real.
No.
You know. If you don't know that, kids, reality TV is not really reality.
No.
Except for those acting in it.
Yeah, but I imagine so. Look, we've become soft, haven't we, as a species?
We have.
Look at what we do. Do you know what
I mean? It's like what they were doing to be able to colonize that way. I mean, they were obviously... What was weird to me about the whole thing was they were still working on this trade. Business was dirty. Like, one guy was still in control of what everyone got.
Yeah.
And so it was people still under this pelt system. And ultimately, their goal was to grow their city so they could be strong and safe and not have to worry about these other groups coming and trying to kill them.
The tree N-words.
Terrible.
It's, I don't know. I didn't even know that was a
I've never
slang
heard
word.
That phrase before. It's just dehumanizing.
Well, derogatory word.
Well, it's that word means ignorant.
Yeah, of course.
So anybody that you don't understand, you're going to instantly call him a.
He said it though, didn't he? Though my man is like, you've come here, you've took our land, you're taking our livestock. Do you know what I mean? Like, can you imagine? That just must have been fucking devastating.
You deserve
for
this shit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, devastating for these people. They've lived a way of life over here for probably 1,000 years.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Easily.
And not building freaking community. Like, they weren't ripping out the land to claim a piece of land.
They
were moving around.
They were living in harmony with the land.
Nomads.
Yeah. You know, and it were a peaceful existence. Well, I'm sure they were hunters in their own right, but, you know, they weren't.
Yeah, but I mean, the hunters in those kinds of days and those kinds of rights, they weren't like mass producing, you know, elk steak, you know, fillets and shit. They took what you needed and your entire, you know, community village ate for a week on, you know, one of these massive
elk. Probably was the most sense of community, wasn't it?
Yeah,
well, definitely.
Leo met the guy that ended up helping him out eating buffalo.
Yeah.
You know, because wild dogs were.
It's true, actually. I mean, if you think about it, the white man is killing the white man in this. The natives weren't killing each other. Really.
No, they weren't.
Well, I think some of those tribes were hostile towards each other because they definitely had their barriers and boundaries as history says it. But because even that woman was rescued by Leonardo, like he came upon the white man's little tribe or whatever.
They were the French.
Their little colony, I should call it. Yeah, the French.
Yes.
And they were freaking, she was getting raped by one of these mother effers. He like,
where's the girl?
You know, freaking, I would freak out being around that kind of camp. Like I'm thinking if you're going to go out in the woods, you're going to survive. You want to have like a bunch of, maybe not hippies.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, why not? People who are just like totally cool, you know, and that's so freaking angry. All these guys are angry.
So what did he do to the guy that was raping this girl? Did he Wu-Tang her?
He Wu-Tanged her.
No, he Wu-Tanged her. Ooh.
No, not her. Did he Wu-Tang the guy? Sorry.
He just came up behind him, didn't he? Put the gun on him. You never saw what happened to him. He crawled up behind him, put the gun on him, and then he told the girl to get the knife out of the guy's side, and she put the knife on him, and then Leo went to get the horses. You never saw what happened to him. Because if I was her, because she said, I'm going to cut your balls off.
Yes, that's what she did.
Did she actually do it?
Yes, she did.
Oh, she did it.
Because at a certain point...
Oh, we saw him fall from the tree, didn't we?
Yes. You saw him fall down, and I noticed it. I was like, oh, shit, she Wu-Tanged him.
I'm with you now. Cut off his gentleman's
cut
excuse.
Off his Johnson. Yeah, exactly. They cut off his Johnson, Lebowski.
Yeah, cut off his Dwayne Johnson.
His rock cock.
Man. Yeah, that's, I can't even imagine. That just makes me feel pain right now.
That's a beautiful horse, though, that he stole.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, do you know what I was thinking? Why do you go for the one that's nondescript? Why do you go for the one that's like brown? You're going for the one with the white one with the black spots on
it.
Well, because he's in a snowy environment. Oh, so I wonder if that had to do with camouflage.
Yeah, good thinking.
You know, I mean, that's, again, when he knew that, because he's just riding that horse. He's riding away from these people, and he doesn't get 100 yards away, and suddenly off a cliff, that horse is dead.
Yeah.
Neck snapped, everything. And gosh, by that point, he's dealing with all these open gashes and having fallen off a cliff onto a tree.
Yeah.
You know.
Guys, this is a massive cliff. This is not just a little cliff we're talking about here. This is, how did the hell did he live?
Well, it's probably because he hit the tree.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, the tree was able to break his fall on the way down, just like Jurassic Park.
That's true.
Or First Blood.
Blood. There it is. We wrapped it back around.
So if you're falling from a cliff, aim for the trees.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So, I mean,
unless it's Ken Kirchhoff, then it's Cliff Barnes.
Yeah.
Cliff Barnes or Sylvester Stallone, then it's Cliffhanger.
That horse got screwed over in this whole deal. It was plunged off a cliff, but it was slept inside of.
It's going to go down in history as having been compared to the Wampa. The Tauntaun, you know, scene from Star Wars. So.
Definitely.
I'm sure the horse says, "Get me my agent. I wanted Seabiscuit.
What the hell is this?" There were a lot of guts inside that, so, you know.
Yeah.
They looked awesome, too, when he pulled them out. It looked like a huge blankety, like, wet red blanket bag.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's going to be the lungs and the stomach and the heart and stuff like that. Ugh.
Yeah. So, Leo, what? He makes it back to the camp.
Well, if he runs across them, once they realize that Leo is alive, because some other random white guy has found his canteen.
Yeah. That's right.
And so they're like, oh, shit, we got to go find him. And Tom Hardy just takes off.
Yeah, because when he gets back to the camp,
then
Gleason realizes he's been lied to. He's paid Tom Hardy and he's paid the young kid. He thinks they've done the burial and here he is standing.
So, well, when he gets back with the kid... I love that scene too, where he's getting paid. The guy goes upstairs and you see the dirt from the wood come falling through. And that's when he realizes where the safe is.
Tom Hardy knows where the safe is at that point. Yes.
Yeah. And so the search party's out there while he's robbing the place and takes off.
Yeah.
Right.
What a son of a bee.
Cause he knows Leo's coming for him.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You know, I mean, it's like Jason. You know, Jason's always coming.
It follows.
Yeah, exactly. Those kinds of things always follow.
Yeah.
And
he said that, didn't he, Leo? He knows how far I've come
from.
He
knows.
Yeah.
I'd be terrified for Jason Voorhees to be chasing me down.
Yeah.
Leo Voorhees.
Leo Voorhees.
Leonardo de Voorhees.
So it's like a cat and mouse then, isn't it? He's going after Tom Hardy through the nasty terrain that they've all just come from.
Yeah, know? Yeah.
Well, Domhnall was like, well, we're gonna go find him, and he's like, no, I'm going too.
I'm going with you. He took my son. I've got nothing to lose. He's got everything to lose because he knows that I'm coming after him.
It was a great little fake out when he
it was.
Tom Hardy shot Gleason.
Classic, though.
Yeah, I predicted it, though.
Yeah.
I saw it coming.
Well, because Domhnall Gleason came upon Tom Hardy first.
That's right.
And got
a bad one.
Got scalped.
Yeah.
I mean, but not even just partially scalped like Tom Hardy. This was full on, like, whole, like, head.
Dr. Phil.
Yeah. Dr. Quinn, medicine woman.
You could see his brains. It was a little bit of, it was all bumpy and brainy looking.
It was.
Yeah.
Well, no, he's
just such a dick thing to do.
Still would have been there.
Why would you do that after you kill somebody? Your job's done. You're trying to send
a message.
Trying
to send a message to Leo.
Saying, look, I'm a sick fuck. But we knew that. And he's not bothered. That's not going to deter him.
No, of course not. At this point, he's got nothing to lose. His wife's dead. His son's dead. Yeah.
So by the time he finds, this is brilliant. By the time he finds Gleason, he breaks off a huge branch. And he's got two horses.
Yeah, and he goes to make camp and then gives up.
Yeah, that was part of the plan.
Yeah, because... Okay, Leonardo DiCaprio comes upon a scalped Domhnall Gleason and decides not to leave him. So he's carrying him across the back of one of the horses. And you see the shot of the horse walking past with a scalped, you know, skull, you know, facing right at you.
Mm-hmm.
And then later on, after he's got this this branch cut off, you see the two horses walking again, except you see the feet of the guy slung over the back. That's when I realized that it might have been somebody different.
Yeah.
The Trojan horse.
Yeah. Hey, it was good there.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah, because Tom Hardy thought he was shooting Leo.
Yeah, he shot from a distance, bang, and he knocked him off the horse.
It was the fake out.
Yeah.
It was the fake out.
It was good.
I thought it took him, he could have been a little quieter about, you know, coming up and just making sure he had a good steady shot off. He had to fling the blanket open and be like, because while the guy was over there checking him, preoccupied, he could have just been like, boom, story over. He can just take the horse back to town, say, hey, this is what happened. It was fucked up. You guys should have been there, but you weren't.
Go clean the mess.
You guys were sleeping with the pigs.
Flips a quarter.
Yeah. You guys were back here smoking ganja. I can smell it. Quit acting like you're moving hay. You guys were not doing that.
So then there by the end, yeah, Leo gets his revenge.
It does. And it quite poignant that, isn't it, when it made me think, you know, when he's choking him out and Tom Hardy's saying, yeah, you know, I hope you enjoy your revenge because it's not going to bring you so back.
It's going to bring back your soul.
There was just this moment of hopelessness in it, and just like this, God, really, that's really true. And Caprio's done all this.
Yeah.
And still.
It's still not going to bring you something back.
It's never really going to resolve it. The vengeance is never the answer.
But before it had to be by the hands of him, he goes, yeah, you're right. And he throws him. He drags him to the water. And he sees the Native American chick that he saves.
Yeah.
She's with, I guess you don't know this at this point, but they're kind of downriver.
Yeah.
And they come upon this whole bloody ass scene that's all over the snow. It just looks like, I mean, what would you do walking up on shit like that out in the early 1800s where you just see some dude over a bloody other guy?
I imagine it were common, though. Everybody were fucking shooting everybody. It was just like you said, a land grab.
Exactly. It's the Wild Wild West.
Yeah, that's insane to think about.
I like Westerns. I mean, it had a Western feel to it. I generally like Western.
It did. I mean, it wasn't like 310 to Yuma or, you know, True Grit or something like that. It really was more of the kind of Survivor Man type of Western.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, which I dug. I don't typically dig those kinds of movies, but this I thought was okay.
Yeah, they were okay. I like a bit more character and a bit more plot, really.
So he puts Mr. Fitzgerald in the river. He floats down to these people, and they kill him. They actually end up pulling him out of the water and stab. Did they stab him, or what did they do?
I think they did.
They did something. Well, but they ended his life.
Proper scalped him again.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure they properly scalped him.
Take the other side.
Take the other half off. Yeah.
Yeah.
Take that.
Yeah. Tosses it back, and the other guy had the other hide, and he's like, oh, sweet. Pippi Longstocking going on.
It turns around, it's George Costanza.
So they end up crossing the water. They come past him, and it's the freaking chick on the horse.
The one that was getting raped.
Yeah, she ends up apparently giving him kind of the old, it's me again.
Yeah.
Enjoy your life. Because he was a freaking survivor. You know, I think she knew that.
Yeah.
I don't know. But.
Ooh, that was loud.
That was loud.
I think we might have come to the point in the movie, where we throw jalapenos in a hat. Right. We call this the jalapenos.
Get your knives out, everybody.
So this is the part in the show where we actually rate the movie that we just watched. Yeah. Each of us has a full jalapeno to throw in the hat. Jalapeno, I think.
Jalapeno is
Each of us has a whole jalapeno to throw in the hat, and we can throw it in any sort of denomination based on our rating of the movie. Martin, what do you think?
I'll give it half.
Half jalapeno?
Half a jalapeno.
Okay. I mean, for the same reasons you were just saying, you know, the character development. And
it was a half a movie, really. It had beautiful shots. It had some great acting. It had some tension. Lots of violence and, you know, it lacked an emotional pulse.
Yeah.
So it was half a movie. So it gets half a jalapeno.
Jalapeno.
That's a difficult one. I would say 3/4.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
Yeah, I give it a good old 75%er.
Nice.
I enjoyed it. I mean, I thought where, you know, the story kind of lacked, or some of it was a little weird. Ultimately, all the shots, I loved all the long shots. I thought those were freaking amazing. I don't know. That would be a very isolating film to have to shoot and be the actor of. So, I don't know. I think Leo did a pretty good job. And it kept me entertained the whole time. I love movies like that. I love survival movies and woods movies. So
interesting.
And what are you saying, Ian?
I'd probably give it a half jalapeno as well. You know, it was not necessarily half a movie. It was almost twice too much a movie.
Yeah, they could have lost an hour.
You know, it was 160 minutes was the running time of this film. It was a bit long.
It was because the same shit kept happening over and over again.
Yeah, his ass kept getting handed.
Over and over again, and like, how we got the point.
Yeah. I don't know where you would have made some cuts, but it definitely could have been trimmed up quite a bit, I think.
Yeah, I think you could have lost a lot. You could have lost all the backstory, the flashbacks. Yeah. They serve no purpose.
Yeah, it's great to see just the sheer human will to survive.
Yeah.
Because you got that same kind of sense out of The Martian as well.
Yeah, you did.
You know, but I think there was more of a connection in The Martian.
I felt for him more on The Martian.
Yeah. So that gives us what, 1 3/4 jalapenos as an average rating for The Revenant.
1 3/4, all right.
Yeah, so it doesn't seem as if it's in at least our opinion, the one to watch out for in the best picture category this year.
Mm-hmm. It's worth seeing, though. If you like films like that, I think it's definitely worth to watch. I mean, I don't know.
Oh,
I don't feel like I wasted my time at all.
No, not at all.
I love movies I'll watch. This was a work of art. Beautiful, absolutely beautiful.
Yeah.
It lacked, for me, some of the elements that make a great film. But
yeah,
it's well worth your time.
It is.
So we'll go ahead and early apologize to you, Leonardo DiCaprio, for not winning the award.
You've got no chance, mate.
Yeah, unfortunately. Matt Damon's going to kick your ass.
Yeah.
Unless Cranston comes in for the steal.
See, you know, that'd be an interesting one to see, but I can't see that movie beating out some of the other films that have been on there. I mean, even Tom Hanks. I imagine Tom Hanks's performance might be pretty powerful.
What's Tom Hanks in?
Tom Hanks was in Bridge of Spies. It's a Steven Spielberg movie. So, I mean, it's going to be a safe one. It's going to be like a Rodgers and Hammerstein musical. You know, The Sound of Music or something like that, you know. But it's about 1980s Berlin.
Right.
You know, he kind of goes in for negotiations.
He loves all these kind of things, like Munich and all that. He loves these films, doesn't he?
Yeah, well, Schindler's List, Saving Private Ryan.
Yeah, he disappears up his own ass sometimes, doesn't he, Spielberg?
Spielberg.
Get back to the blockbusters. He invented them, for fuck's sake.
He did.
He invented the summer blockbuster. Let's have another one.
Remake Jaws, Steven.
Yeah, well, yeah. Well, maybe. Maybe not.
So I guess real quick, the shout out to thoughtformfilm.com.
Yes, if you want to go to and give us a couple of quid, go to thoughtformfilm.com. We're making a film. It's a short horror film.
It's got a little bit of attention.
It has. We've had some press, actually.
We have. We had a pretty awesome write-up from America's Most Haunted. We'll post the link up on the blog page. But,
heck yeah.
But,
there's quite a few. There's like, I think, 5 different articles from bloggers. Yeah.
That's really cool. And I mean, this is all from us being kind of self-driven with the kind of promotion of the Kickstarter campaign.
Yeah.
It's slowly building up its momentum, but
if you go to the Kickstarter, thoughtformfilm.com, that's the page. You can see the teaser, the little mini movie that we shot out in Texas. You can see the campaign video. There's a shitload of perks on there.
Yeah, ask us any questions, anything you want to know about the film, you know, and drop a couple dollars in the hat.
Yes, please.
We need your help. We're on this movie.
Help us, Obi-Wan Kenobi.
We're on a radio show, aren't we, Thursday?
Thursday. What's it called, Joe?
After Hours AM.
Yeah, okay. Go check that out. It's at, let's see, 7 to, I think it's 7 to 9 p.m. Pacific. So that's 10 to 11, 10
8 p.m.
to 12.
Central Standard, 9 p.m. Eastern.
8 p.m. Central Standard. Okay. Wow. So, you know,
Thursdays.
Yeah. So we're going to be on Thursday, the 28th. So be on the list now for us.
And if, they do live call-ins, which is crazy.
Okay. If you hear this show before January 28th, listen to, what's the show again? I'll learn it by the time I'm on the show. Don't worry.
After Hours AM.
After Hours AM. Okay, so yeah, go listen to After Hours AM on the 28th, and you can call in and talk to us.
Brilliant.
Thoughtformfilm.com.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, yeah, and check out on Twitter. Ian, what's the famous little Twitter address?
Famous. At ThoughtformTX.
Yeah, hit us up there.
For this week on 3 Movie Goes, I'm Ian.
I'm Martin.
And I'm Joe.
And peace out. With a peace out.
Follow us on Twitter at 3amovigos
and online at 3amovigos.com.
What these two sexies said.